Well, our text today is one of my favorite verses, and probably one of the favorite verses of many of you. It comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11 reads this way. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it continues, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I'll bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. The children of Judah had wandered off God's straight path, but it was not the will of God that they remain estranged from him and under his divine wrath and discipline. Nor is it his will for you and I. God in heaven has offered every man, woman, and child a way to him, and if we stray, a way back. The Lord delights to give you a future and a hope. To be sure, there are many national applications of our text, but this morning we shall focus on personal applications and trust that God's word will cut to the heart and cause every one of you to cry out, "What shall we do?" Three lines of application are these. First, God's thoughts toward you. Second, the road back from captivity. And finally, I urge you to consider your future and your hope. God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. You may recall when the coming of the Savior was announced by the angelic host that these words were spoken. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men, the expressed desire of God Almighty. To obtain this peace, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Therefore, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace, and thereby goodwill will come to you. Your acquaintance with the world has left you unsettled, anxious, perhaps even depressed, and without peace. There is a vaccine for that. The Christian life led in all good conscience. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wishes to give you a future and a hope. Learn from the past, but leave your past where it belongs. In the past. If you did well, do not rest on your laurels. If the past is a point of sin and shame, then learn its lessons, but dwell there no longer. For God's promise is this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No matter what your past is, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, God's thoughts are of you receiving a heavenly inheritance. He offers you right here today a future and a hope unqualified by anything but belief in the only begotten Son of the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God's thoughts towards you. Our second point of application this morning is the road back from captivity. I'd like to speak to any here who are being held captive by some sin. You've started down that road, and you don't quite know how to come back. Perhaps you've reached out to the Lord through Jesus Christ, and he's walking you back, but this road seems exceedingly long. Take heart on the journey and pray that the Lord will grant you spiritual progress. Pray a lot. Pray without ceasing, as the Lord taught us that men always ought to pray. For if you do not stay in that spiritual place, your progress will be arrested by the devilish temptations that took you into captivity in the first place. As it is written in the Word of God, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Judah would dwell 70 years in captivity. A long time. But God would comfort her there, and soon, in his time, he would bring her back to peaceful habitations. Isaiah 32. 18. You read that when you walk, every time you walk in this building. That's the tapestry that's hanging up over there in the foyer. Take a read of it on your way out. God's people will dwell in peaceful habitations. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Consider also in our text that God's thoughts of peace and not of evil are for your own benefit. But you know something, friend? You own your evil thoughts. God does not own them, nor does he set you up to fail, nor does he put your evil thoughts there into your mind. We need no help in that. Therefore, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So there you have it. You can't say the devil made me do it, and you can't say God made me do it. You're betwixt and between. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So I ask you, must you stay in your captivity to what you know are your own sinful thoughts and actions? You have built your own dungeon, and you have locked yourself in securely. But by faith, like faithful and Christian, take the key of freedom in Christ and open wide that prison door, knowing that the cross is there yonder, and that the Lord is calling out, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Finally, I must ask you to be honest about your future and your hope. Our text reads this way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's kind of future, God's kind of hope. Have you been trusting in that, or have you been trusting in your own brand of future, your own brand of hope? All who have trusted in the name, person, work, and promises of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the God, the Savior, have eternal life even now on the authority of God's word. Therefore, let us live like it. But do you honestly expect to receive heavenly rewards from the one you call Lord? Are you double-minded? Are you leading a double life? A Christian life and a worldly life, adapted to the circumstances? I say these things to urge each one of us unto self-examination. There may be some listening this morning who, despite God's best designs, have neither future nor hope. You have been building up earthly accolades as a great student or a great worker, a great company man. But is it for God's glory or your own? Are you truly saved? Are you really a Christian? Is your future in heaven? Is the hope of glory your own? Or is your future separation from God? And is your hope the vain hope that you can somehow escape or bear through hell's eternal flames? What is your future? And what is your hope? The Lord shall have the last word of this preaching this morning. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Father God, we thank you for this word. Though you be almighty, though your name be hallowed above all things, you have condescended to send your Son Jesus Christ down to reconcile us to you by the blood of his cross. We thank you for the peace that you freely offer. Thank you, Father, that even on a dark and cloudy day, while we were yet in the captivity of our sin, you have sought us out and led us back by the hand if and when we were willing. Lord, if there are any Christians professors, unbelievers in that place of captivity, that you will use your word, which you have magnified even above your name, to accomplish its purpose. And draw souls to you and back to you in this very morning. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.